The Old Testament lesson for the festival of the Holy Cross is from Numbers, chapter 21. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the first chapter. "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart.' Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. According to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. This is the gospel of the Lord. Jesus said, "Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. A most blessed festival of the exaltation of the Holy Cross unto all of you. Dear ones, I rejoice to be with you here today and to relish with you this day appointed for us by the Holy Church of God to ponder and meditate on the Holy Cross of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and what it means for us as Christians following after him. You heard the words of our blessed Savior just moments ago, and I would draw your attention to them still once more. In English, the text reads, "If anyone serves me, he must follow me." But I'm not sure that this really captures the true force of the statement. You see, in Greek, the text says more literally, "If anyone would serve me, let him follow me." Let him follow me. This is more than simply a statement of fact. Our Lord Jesus here gives a command, in fact. If anyone would serve the Lord of glory, the King of kings, let that person follow him. Let the one who would serve Jesus follow in the way of Jesus. And where Jesus is, there will his servant be also. And as I look out at each of you here tonight, dear ones, I'm quite sure that all of you know well what that means. I know it well as well. For the way of Jesus, the theological path of Jesus, is anything but formless and void. It has a very specific form, in fact, a very specific character to it. And the same is true for all of us as his servants. The way of Jesus is the way of faith in God our Father and obedience to his will. It's the way of the cross, of death to yourself, out of love for God and neighbor. That is the path of Jesus. That is the way of the cross. And as ironic and strange and even foolish as it may seem, certainly foolish to the world, the way of the cross is the way of life. What Christ our Lord thus tells us and shows us is that by dying in Him, we live. There is a way that seems right to a man, but which in the end leads to death, to losing your life with no way of getting it back. This is the way of the world, the way of loving this worldly life and the deceitful pleasures of sin that lead us away from God. And this way is broad and easy, and many find it. Consider the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. The way of the rich man could not be more broad, could not be more easy, could it? He feasted sumptuously every single day, clothed in the finest linen. No doubt he enjoyed great reputation in the community as a rich man in ancient Palestine. He may well have fueled the local economy, employing many, and being a wealthy benefactor to all except for apparently the beggar at his gate. He lived a life of self-indulgence, a life of pleasure, a life whose things lead him ultimately not to God, but away from God. He loved his life, and so he lost it. Don't you see? Where did that path, that broad path that he followed, where did that path lead in the end? Dear ones, like a funnel going downward, that broad path on which he began led to the narrow confinement of hell, that waterless pit of anguish from which there is no escape. He was hopelessly trapped and squeezed and isolated. That broad path narrowing down into hell. But think now on Lazarus. How narrow and confined and uncomfortable did his path start out? How confined and hellish did his life seem as he lay there languishing at the gate of the rich man, but which then opened up to eternal life? Dear ones, this is because the path of Lazarus is the path of the cross. It's the path of clinging to God by faith and being obedient to his will, no matter what may come, no matter what the circumstances may be they poverty and anguish, ridicule, shame, and mockery, no matter. And do we not see, dear ones, Jesus Christ endure all of these things for us? Which of these did he not endure for the sake of your redemption and mine? He endured it all. That's because this is the way of the cross and this is the way of life. And this is the life, this is the way, this is the path that we have been baptized into. We've been initiated into it through holy baptism. This is now our life. Our lives are cruciform in character. The theological path that we now follow is the path of Jesus, the path of self-denial, the path of faith in God and obedience to his will, no matter what may come. And in a world that is growing darker by the day, this is becoming more and more important to keep in mind. As Christianity is on the wane in America, it is increasingly important that we keep this truth in our mind. The way of the cross is not comfortable. It's not fun. It's not something that you find on Yelp. 10 out of 10 would recommend. You don't see that. It's agonizing. It's full of anguish and danger and fear and anxiety. It's difficult. The people who find this, the number of people, are few. But we who would be servants of Jesus, the Lord of glory, we must despise this life in this world. We must despise all of its sinful pleasures and lusts, all of which are alluring, to be sure, but fleeting nonetheless. All of them take us away from God and not toward Him. We must die to ourselves, dear ones. This is the call of baptism. Come and die. Die to yourself. Die to your old sinful ways. And live, therefore, unto God. In dying, we live. This is the truth that Jesus would have us know. This is the life of the baptized child of God that all of you have been brought into. It's a cruciform life. It's a life of faith and obedience to God under the cross of Christ. And again, I say to you, now and always, by dying in Christ, we live. And to Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.